Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1994. The topic is nutrition, and the title is Weight Change Factors versus Experience Factors. When I hear a lot of people, well, you get conversations about nutrition with regular people all the time, friends and strangers and acquaintances. And then also when I talk with new clients at consultations or even existing clients when we're still working through all the educational information, I hear a lot of times where people get confused in certain actions, certain things that they do, believing that it's going to impact their body weight. Most often they're going to think that they're going to get fat from doing something. And I wanted to touch on today's podcast that that's most often not true. People will associate, for example, a food choice with making them fat. So they had pizza, went out for dinner instead of, say, chicken and rice. And they're like, well, that's going to make me fat. And I'm like, well, how much pizza did you eat? And we might find, for example, one of my clients, they were on a rush, they were hurried one night, they typically would sit down to have about a 400 to 500 calorie meal. They were in such a busy rush, they just grabbed a slice of pizza and ran out the door. They felt super bad, felt guilty about it, messaged me saying that they had really screwed up their diet because they had pizza and they felt like they just wasted a whole week's worth of work. And I was like, well, the average slice of pizza is only 300 calories. You're supposed to have a 400, 500 calorie meal. You actually underate. The pizza didn't make you fat. You actually underate. You actually need to eat more food, more than just the piece of pizza. I said, next time, grab a piece and a half. And she was like, what? And I was like, I don't want to, you know, we're not going to eat pizza all the time. But that's because of experiential factors, not because of weight change factors, meaning pizza, if it's controlled in calories, isn't going to make the client gain body fat. It might digest relatively quickly, isn't a large volume of food, so they get hungry quicker later on, their belly's kind of emptied, and then it causes them to overeat as like a snack because they process the pizza too quickly. So the other issue might be is maybe they don't normally eat pizza. That's a lot of fat in one moment. Maybe they get a little bit of digestive stress. They're kind of blah, not feeling that great. So they miss their next meal because they weren't feeling good from eating the pizza. So those are experiential outcomes that are negative, but not weight change outcome. Meaning the pizza wouldn't have made her gain body fat. It would have made following the diet correctly harder later, but it wouldn't have made her gain body fat. So this is what I want to touch on in today's podcast, is there are factors that directly impact weight change. Then there are factors that impact the experience of your diet, of your nutrition, and then that can secondarily cause weight change. For example, it causes you to eat extra food later on because of cravings, or miss a meal later on because you were too full from the foods that you weren't supposed to have. So it has like secondary effects, but just having certain choices, just making certain choices, don't automatically cause weight change. Let's get into it a little bit. The absolute primary determinant of weight change is calories. If I overeat calories, if I eat more calories than what I need, and I do that chronically over time, I will gain body fat. Even if I inconsistently eat my calories, we've talked about this a bajillion times, is people will have inconsistent intake, and that causes them to be overweight. Most people think they're overweight because they overeat. And yes, that is true for some people. But a lot of people, and the majority of people, are overweight because they inconsistently eat. They have too many periods of extreme deficits, followed by too many periods of surpluses. It's all completely random. The body can't trust what the hell is happening. So it saves every surplus it can to cover the deficits, but it oversaves in the surpluses. It saves more than it needs because it can't predict the deficits. We talk about this in podcast 1615. It's a nutrition podcast titled Why Are You Overweight? Inconsistent Eating versus Overeating. So most people I talk to are overweight from inconsistent eating, not overeating. Then there are people who undereat, and that can actually cause them to have higher amounts of body fat and kind of like an undesirable body composition, meaning they're not going to be overweight, they're just going to be overly fat. They have more fat than they want for the weight they are. They can learn more if that's you. You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com, go to the free nutrition education page. On that page, scroll to the bottom. There's a section titled Recovering from an Eating Disorder, Under Eating. If you are coming from an under eating place and you can't understand, can't figure out why, you still have body fat. You're eating probably sub 1,000 calories. Chronically, you're miserable, you're hungry as hell. Maybe you've even gotten past the point of being hungry. Like I was anorexic for, I think, 2.5 years or so, almost 3 years when I was a teenager. I forgot what hunger was. I had to relearn what being hungry felt like. So I'm coming from a place of understanding, not judgment, actual understanding, that you do lose the feeling of hunger. You kind of lose that sensation. If you're in that category of people, you can go to the website. Go to Free Nutrition Education. There's a document you can print and a paired podcast you can listen to that explains the science of why under-eating actually makes you overweight. So we know calories, whether we're consistently over, inconsistent, over and under, or consistently under, they are the determinant of us having being overweight or over fat, meaning you're at an okay weight, but you have more fat than you want. So another way of saying that would be body composition, the amount of fat versus muscle that you have at a specific weight. That could be less than desirable. Also, our calories will impact if you're trying to build muscle mass and you're just not eating enough consistently, you will not gain weight, you will not gain muscle. Now, secondarily, other than calories, you also have to have sufficient protein. Muscle is made from protein, like fat is made from carbohydrates and dietary fats. They've done studies and markers to show that dietary fats are the most converted over to tissue fat. I don't want to get too much into the weeds of that. You can diet successfully and lose body fat successfully and have an exceptional physique successfully, whether you do high carb, low carb, medium carb, high fat, low fat, medium fat, as long as calories are controlled and you have sufficient amount of protein. The remaining amount of calories above protein calories, the remaining amount of calories, whether it comes from fats or carbs, really doesn't matter. It's personal and situational. You can be successful in a fat loss diet, successful in body composition, regardless of the percentage of fats and carbs that you take in. There's tons of research that proves that. Now, with that in mind, we know that carbs and fats contribute towards body fat. Protein contributes towards muscle tissue. You cannot have muscle tissue if you don't have sufficient protein. So the primary impact, the primary factor of weight change is calories. But a secondary and very important factor is protein. If you want to build muscle tissue, you have to have enough protein. Even if you have a surplus of calories, but you really have an insufficient amount of protein, you're not going to build enough muscle. You're not going to build an optimal amount of muscle, that's for damn sure. So the calories and fats can help, you know, fuel the energy that you need for your workouts, fuel daily energy. It can be protein sparing. You might hear that term. It can spare the protein from being burned off for energy. But if you still just have insufficient amount of protein, you're only eating like half your body weight in grams of protein, you're just not going to build muscle tissue. You're not. Whether you want to build strength, maybe you're a strength athlete. Again, protein goes towards neurological development, nerve connections, repairing connective tissues and muscle tissue. You do have to repair the muscle tissue that you damage in training. Even if you aren't wanting to build bigger muscles, you still have to repair the muscle you damage. So protein is still important. So when we look at what impacts weight change directly, it's primarily calories, secondarily protein. Everything else is pretty much experience. it impacts the experience of your diet, whether it's a diet for weight loss, fat loss, muscle growth, strength, athleticism, whatever the hell it is that you're working on. If you have a structured way of eating, that would be considered a diet. So everything else impacts the experience of your diet. That's meal timing, meal frequency, and food choices. There are other things, but these are the three main ones that I want to touch on in the podcast. So the five things we're looking at today are calories, protein, that's one and two, then meal timing, meal frequency, and food choices. So those are numbers three, four, and five. Those five components are the most commonly discussed, most commonly looked at, most commonly analyzed topics when it comes to nutrition, is calories, protein, meal timing, meal frequency, and food choices. And in food choices would be whether you have, you know, fats or carbs, fiber, sugar alcohols, cholesterol, I mean, whatever you want to throw in there. What sugars, I think I already said that, but I want to say it again just in case I didn't. But all of that is going to be included in food choices. When we look at those aspects, meal timing, meal frequency, and food choices, they have an impact on our ability to be consistent with the diet. The timing of your meals, if that's very challenging and it directly conflicts with your daily schedule, you're not going to be consistent with your diet. So you have to time your foods correctly based on your individual schedule. That also comes into play with meal frequency. Meal frequency, if it doesn't match your schedule, you're not going to be consistent. And food choices. If you're forced to eat foods you don't like, if you're forced to eat foods that take a lot of time to prepare, if you're forced to eat foods that are very expensive, you are not going to be consistent. So those are experiential factors. They don't directly cause weight change. Now, you can eat one time a day, intermittent fasting, and you can control your body weight. You can eat 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. Most like professional bodybuilders eat an enormous frequency of food because they have to get so much damn food in. They might eat 6, 7, 8 times a day, and they can control their body weight totally fine. So whether you have one meal a day up to, you know, 24 meals a day, whatever it would be, you can control your body weight very well, very successfully. And then if we look at meal frequency, we know that I guess kind of talked about meal frequency instead of timing. So timing, going back to that, would be whether you have it at the end of the day, beginning of the day, and just kind of focused around your activity levels. Some people will fast at the first half of the day, then they eat the second half. Other people will eat right away, then they fast the rest of the day. So the timing and the frequency, those elements are different, but they're also they're intertwined quite a bit. Then when we look at food choices, we know that we just said you can do high fat, low fat, high carb, low carb. As long as the amount of calories and protein are correct, the remaining amount of carbs / fats, whatever calories you want to get, the food choices are preferential. Whether you have white potato, white pasta, or white rice, who cares? Not going to make much of a difference in regards to weight change. It's really not going to make any difference as long as the calories are controlled. Whether you have wheat pasta, wheat, whatever the other things are, so wheat bread, brown rice, quinoa, whether you have white foods, wheat foods, whatever they are, that's not going to matter with weight change. It's going to matter with when you're hungry again. It's going to matter with digestion. It's going to matter with preferential taste. Like, I don't like brown rice. I've dieted off brown rice a bajillion times, and one of the reasons why I use it for a diet is because I hate it, so I won't overeat it. So I actually diet when I'm doing extreme diets. I've lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less three different times. I've lost 70 pounds in 10 months over a span of crazy amounts of work. So I've done a ton of weight loss examples, and I will typically do those challenges with foods I don't like, so that way I don't risk overeating them. But when I'm trying to gain weight, I have to like my food. I will eat jasmine rice. It's my favorite type of rice. It digests very quickly. I actually will eat rice over white potatoes, even though they're pretty interchangeable. I feel too full with potatoes compared to rice. I'm hungrier again sooner with rice than I am with potato. So I choose the rice based on the experience factor, not that it helps me build muscle more, just by simply having rice versus white potato. It helps with the experience of the diet, so therefore I can eat more, and then that allows me to increase my calories, and then that allows me to gain weight. So it's the manipulation of food choice to the impact on calories that makes the weight change. It's not food choice that makes the change. It's the impact it has on our calories that makes the weight change. So that's why it's important to understand that it's an experiential factor, not an actual weight change factor. If we look at daily energy, some people have great energy if they fast in the morning, eat something a little bit midday, then eat a bigger meal at night. Other people, they'll crash and burn and die in the middle of the day, no energy whatsoever. So it's learning, okay, which meal timing helps me. Meal frequency. Some people, they like to eat very often throughout the day. Gives them much better daily energy. Other people, if they eat often, they kind of feel blah, and they're kind of like weighed down in digestion. They're just not feeling high energy. So meal timing, meal frequency will have an impact on daily energy. Other people, if they have high amounts of carbs near meals, they'll say they feel sluggish afterwards. I've had clients who, when they have high fat content, they feel sluggish afterwards. So it's really individual factors, but whether you have high carb, high fat, like we said, that's a food choice factor, that's an experiential factor, not an actual weight change factor. Talk about cravings. If you have an inappropriate meal timing, meal frequency, and food choice for you, it can cause high amounts of cravings. I've had clients where they tell me they have cravings during the day in the afternoon, and they just struggle. They feel like a weak, mentally weak. They're so mad at themselves. They hate themselves because they just have these cravings in the middle of the day. They can't get over it. Well, I find out that they have very little calories for breakfast, and then by the time they're snackish and they're having the cravings, it's because they should have had a breakfast, they should have had a lunch, and now all of a sudden they haven't had anything. Their body starts picking away at anything. A little bit of donuts at work, a little bit of candy. Then they feel guilty. They try to over-conserve their foods at night, and then that just perpetuates the problem the next day. So we increase their breakfast. We increase the how soon after breakfast they have lunch, and then all of a sudden there's no cravings in the afternoon. It's not always a matter of willpower. They're not mentally weak. They're mentally strong people. It's just that this timing of their food and what they're having in the meals is working against them. And that's what you have to find out and have it be individual for you. The factors that are not individual are calories and protein. If your goal is fat loss, you have to be in a caloric deficit. You still have to have sufficient amount of protein. If your goal is muscle growth, you have to be in a caloric surplus. You have to have sufficient amount of protein. Those factors are kind of universal. But the experiential factors are the individual factors. That's why you'll find diets that quote-unquote work that have variable meal timing, that have variable meal frequency, that have variable food choices. But what they don't vary in is the amount of calories that you would need, whether you're counting calories or points or whatever the hell terminology they're using. There's a control factor for the volume of food that is controlling calories. Protein hopefully should be considered within your diet. If not, you're going to find that you will hit a weight that you like, but you don't look the way that you thought. This also happens with ketogenic diets, Atkins diets. People will lose 30, 40 pounds, but they're like, oh, I look soft and pudgy. What the hell? Like, I thought I was going to be ripped and lean and at least see some muscle, and it's because they didn't have enough protein. So they controlled their calories for fat loss, for weight loss, but they didn't control the protein to maintain muscle tissue. So I'm touching on a lot, and I feel like this might be rambly, but I wanted to cover this concept because it comes up quite often, is that the things that directly impact weight change are calories and secondarily protein. But everything else is an experience. It's an experience factor, meal timing, meal frequency, food choices. What I would like you to follow up listening to is podcast 1897, titled, How Much Fat Do You Gain When You Overeat? I want to highlight that podcast because it touches on, even if you eat poorly for one meal, one day, or even a whole weekend, it does not mean that you undo weeks and months of progress. Just because you go out and have a couple drinks and you eat some restaurant food on a Friday night does not mean you will gain 5 pounds of fat. You may weigh 5 pounds more the next day. But that is not fat. That is water retention and glycogen, which is stored water within our muscles, depending on the carbohydrate intake that you had at that random meal. I want you to listen to podcast 1897 because it'll make more sense. When you see weight change, it is not an indicator of fat, purely fat change. The first week anybody starts any diet and they lose like 8 pounds in 1 week, I am sorry, but you did not lose 8 pounds of fat in 1 week. That's scientifically impossible, unless you cut it off. Likewise, when you eat like a butthead over the weekend and you gain 4 pounds from Thursday to Monday, you did not gain 4 pounds of fat over the weekend. You gained some fat, but a lot of water retention. And if you go back on your diet within a few days, you're going to be right back to where you were weight-wise, and you're going to be right back on track. So I would like you to listen to podcast 1897 because it helps this make even more sense. Fat must be formed from excessive material. Like the client who just had a piece of pizza at dinner, who cares? It's not going to make her fat. There wasn't even enough calories in the pizza to form fat. There wasn't even enough calories in the pizza to sustain the normal amount of calories she had every day. Whether she would have had chicken and rice or the pizza, she would have actually had more calories from the chicken and rice, and that wouldn't have made her fat. She would have known that that was a good meal. Just because it's pizza doesn't mean you get fat. You have to overeat it. There has to be excessive calories. That excessive calories is excessive material that is then converted over to the formation of fat. There has to be material to form fat. Just like with protein, there has to be material to form new muscle tissue. So hopefully this was helpful. I don't know if I gave like clear-cut answers to anything, but I wanted to throw this out there, get you thinking about it, get you aware of that there are weight change factors and there are experience factors. I want you to know that they are different. If you have any follow-up questions, if you want me to clarify anything specific in a future podcast, let me know. You can always reach out on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can always send me a message on the bottom of our homepage. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I want you to always get the answers that you want, so that way this all makes sense for you and you can live a healthy, happy life. So don't be afraid to reach out if there are any questions that you have. Also, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. If you like the podcast, you can also consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.